McGinnity, I just wanted to run it by for a handshake, because we aren't going to have an answer today. I want to get some more writing out of him. They all said he was brighter and sharper than they had expected. And Ray says he's bright, quick, but not deep, doesn't read anything but the papers and National Review. His interest, other than real estate and politics and religion, Ray was more impressed with him than he thought he was going to be, because he thought his columns were clever but shallow. Point is, that shallowness is exactly what we're after, which is the point I made to Ray.
When in the name of God are we ever going to hang out with them is clever?
And clever, it's clever and shallow is what we're talking about. The problem is everything we've got is too deep.
Everything we get from Ray.
Thoughtful and deep, rather than clever and shallow.
It's so goddamn profound that, basically, that's particularly true of Ray, Ebner, and Cook.
I think what we'll do is try him on some stuff. We'll get him, but without locking him up yet. He's the guy that's interested. He wants to help me. Yeah.
Does he look like?
He's a tall, skinny guy, a little,
aesthetic,
quite precise in his speech. He can, Colson says he may be, my only reservation is he may be a right-wing nut. Buchanan says he's just about what I'd expected, very conservative. Should see more of his work before considering him further. But we can push him another step. There's no,
he could write something that could get us all interested. Did you get that Dan Palmer around anybody?
Yep.
They didn't do it.
Well,
again, about it was shallow.
Shallow.
Yeah, that's just too damn bad.
Clever, but shallow.
What do you think of it, though?
I thought it was damn good.
Sure.
He wants to continue writing. He wants to do more. I said,
wouldn't he get Dan Goodwin to write for the National Committee for the goal?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, trying is
that's what right. Getting him in the, we can.
I think actually that may be the place for him. And then we can find the guy.
Yeah.
Flip over here. Let's get over there with the National Committee law. He'd be just perfect for no need shallow, clever things. Let me tell you, the more I think of it, that is the problem with our speech writers. The damn thing is it's just too good, it's too beautiful, isn't it?
Hey, he's got his, religious mission business, which is a little, he says he wants to write further if God is willing or something.
That's too bad.
But, I asked him if he thought he had more to say than what was said in those columns, or did that pretty much wrap up his view? He said, oh no, as an editor, he had always thought that the guy who writes his first book tends to write in generalities, and the way to develop it from there is to get down to take one specific within the book and ask him to expand on that. He said, I could very much see doing that on my columns, which a whole lot of points covered there, and you can take any one of them and develop it.
He must be smart.
So,
you see, right?
I think the thing we do is ask him to do it. Give him a little, a little underwriting so he doesn't have to spend his time selling real estate.
Would you take your rough notes on columnists and give Ray a little
sharp
sheet on that? I think it's good for him to hear that.
Yeah.
And maybe, who else is worth it? You don't need to do it with Colson, he believes already. Worth it with Buchanan, spit him for totally. Mars had a good judgment. What do you think? Mm-hmm. I think really the bite, that's what it is. The bite that we're getting, the stuff we're putting, I'm putting in, and ad libbing and the rest, as you know. That's the stuff that is sending, gets it. Typical of the was one day prepared for me to go out and do on television on that drug message. You remember that one?
Yeah.
That 100 words. It was a disaster.
Yep.
It was
a
disaster, wasn't it?
Yep.
You had written it before you brought it in, remember?
Yeah.
So I said, a couple of notes. We got in something about Public Enemy Number 1 or some damn little thing. It was shallow, wasn't it? to it the other way. It's just quite the, it isn't quite like Sapphire either, it's a...
No, because his is...
His is rental. So there's a difference in there. But it's simple, that's what we mean, simple, simple, simple. Keep it simple. Simple, direct, blunt. So Bill said this scared him, huh? Some sort of, I don't know what the hell of a threat it is.
Yeah, I can't see anything wrong with your eye, I'm sure it does.
No, it's scary, sure.
And he was afraid it was some
accident.
More serious than it turned out to be.
Probably just got a broken blood vessel or something like that. I think Bob was calling about the other thing.
I think he was too, because it was all sort of an inquiry type conversation.
He's smart enough to know how to do it too.
Wouldn't normally call me to tell me.
You know, I reflected a little more on that though, Bob. I may be wrong. I do not think it has all that great consequence to have your next one. I have impressions of it. He's overestimating what they're going to think about what Henry Kissinger is doing. Maybe kind of, he's trying to work away, but you know what I mean? Yeah, it's the president that they got a certain amount of. And I don't think it's going to make all that difference.
He's got a new Fed he's on now.
That's true.
Averill Harriman called him and said, I assume you met with Lee Doctor in Europe this weekend. If you need any help on how to deal with him, I'd be glad to be
that's probably what.
So he's now convinced that somebody has put out that he's meeting with Lee Doctor.
You mean straight? But how the hell did that
happen? Well, he says Sullivan raised the point with somebody, and Sullivan, of course, is close to Aaron. Raised the point with somebody that said to Haig, I guess, or yeah, I said to Haig, well, I guess Henry would be meeting with Lee Doctor since he's gone into Paris or something. He knew Henry was trying to lie. In other words, they're trying to smoke him out on that. Haig said, well, it's ridiculous. But then Harriman called today with this.
Well, Henry better up to Lake on that one. See, Lake was there before with him. That's where that comes from. He can't.
Well, you know, that kind of coincidence, that's you said all along, the Discoverer wasn't going to hold forever, and it can't. If Henry Kissinger, who never goes on trips, all of a sudden flies to England for a couple of days, and Lee Doctor, who's been gone for 6 months or whatever it is, happens to fall into Paris the same weekend, there's going to be people
very much speculating.
Damn right.
The thing could just break it through. Why?
Just say, hell no. Why?
You just got to just calm down.
I went to meet with Pete. Whatever it is he went to meet with. It's going to be tough for Henry. He's uptight on all this stuff, and he's got a lot of...
He knows it's a great stage.
...all the stuff that's bouncing around.
Yeah. It's going to work for him.
You just got to kind of cobble in through it, though.
Sure. That's why I still did. I raised the Haig one with him. He says, oh, Haig's got to keep them all under control here. And he's just got that. He's afraid the Ecuadorian fishermen will start a war. Really? I mean that.
I'm pushing on right. We're going to be saving something in September.
problem, if we got any, there gets any breakage, triplets, it'd be great. Something will happen. Would you ever think of that, you know, if Jeff and Alex had that, that turns out Lund called him and just said they're going to be in town, and it would be, you know, I need to bring Jeff Lund, so say. He just called, I don't know, I should, I was, how much I knew could say no, or, how's he gonna say what?